And now it's my privilege to welcome up the wonderful Colin Barnes. Woo! We all know that Colin is a very passionate man. And, you know, I think one of his biggest passions is wanting to see people know the love of Jesus. And he's going to be sharing some of that with us this morning. So I'm expecting that we are going to be freshly inspired and envisioned for that. But let's just pray for Colin. Lord, we thank you so much for Colin. We thank you for who he is and your life that flows through him. And Lord, we just pray that what you've put in his heart would stir up something fresh in us, that would re-envision us, Lord, to partner with you and what you're doing in our communities. Amen.
This morning, I want to talk about the light of the world. And that's you guys, because Jesus said so. The light of the world. And we are in a community, a family of churches, four churches, and we are endeavouring to live out that, to be the light of the world, aren't we? We're desperate to see his kingdom come because our lives have been so transformed, so wrecked, so turned upside down, so completely and utterly ravished by his love that actually we live, that's why we live, isn't it? Come on. That's why we're here. That is why we're here. And so we're seeking to build churches and we're on a mission together. That means we're on a journey with a purpose. We're trying to achieve something with our lives. We want our lives to make a difference, don't we? Come on. Yes. So there are three things that we believe that God has given us to walk out in this season. Three things that are easy to remember. Look, love, live. So we're trying to look on the face of Christ. What that means is that we want to really learn from Jesus. We want to follow him. He's our inspiration. He's the source. He is the light of the world. So that's why we pray. That's why we worship. That's why we read our Bibles. Actually, it's to fill ourselves up with an inspired vision of who he is. Because when we know who he is, we understand who we are. And we can live better in this world that he's made. And we're also looking to love everyone we meet because we know it's all about love. Everything is about love. The reason God made the world was for love. God is love. Those who live in love, live in God. Those who don't love, don't know God. Without love, we're nothing. By this, the whole world will know we're his disciples by our love for one another. Everything is all about love. So we're seeking to love everyone we meet, recognizing actually the wonderful image of God that stands before us when we meet someone. Not just a random collection of molecules that happen to come together out of the mud and exist on this rock, that wonderful video we had, but actually someone who is created in the very image of God with a dignity and a purpose. Someone should be treasured. And wherever they are on their journey, whatever has happened to them in their past, whatever they believe or don't believe, whatever their practices have been, whatever mistakes that they've done, whatever hurts that they've committed, actually, we seek to love them into life because that's what God has done for us. And we freely give what we have freely received. Amen? Come on. And then we're looking to live like heaven is near because that's the message that Jesus came with. He said, you've got to think again. Repent. Think again. The kingdom of heaven is right at hand. It's within grasp. And so we try and live like that. We believe it. We're mad enough to actually believe that's what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Actually, it really is at hand. It's coming and it's coming and it's coming and it's closer and it's coming. And we believe that of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So we go with faith into every situation. So we go with hope into every hopeless situation. We go with life into every lifeless situation. We go with light into every dark situation, knowing actually that God is with us, bringing hope, bringing peace, bringing life. His kingdom is coming. Amen? Come on. Yeah, so, you know, if we do these things, guys, we'll carry so much life. And we are carrying a lot of life, and I'm really rejoicing in that. So we're looking a little bit at the live bit today, living like heaven is near, being the light of the world. And as I said, that's what Jesus said, and I want to read that passage. You know, Scripture's amazing. Whenever you think of the Bible, most people don't really understand it very well. And the longer you go on with it, the more you realise that. Thank you, Andy. There's a man who understands it very well indeed. But it's true. It's true. But what happens when you read it, this bit of scripture I'm about to read you now changed my life. I was sitting in my university bedroom I didn't know if God existed. Somebody bought me a Bible. Guys going at universities, buy your friends Bibles. It changes their lives. It makes them do crazy things. They end up leading churches. Yeah, come on. We have that influence. We have that kind of that honor to actually love someone into life. He bought me a Bible, loved me into life. I sat in my university bedroom, read these words, and the Spirit of God breathed life on them and spoke to me and said, I'm here. As a result of reading these words, I got on my knees and prayed and said, God, if you're there, I don't know if you're there or not. This whole thing is way too big for me. But if you're there, I need help. And he came and answered that prayer. Come on. So I love to read scripture because it changes us. As we read it, allow the God who loves you to speak to you from these words. You never know what life it's going to bring, what he's going to bring to you. So, Matthew, I take my glasses off these days to read. That's terrible. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Are you feeling blessed? And say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I remember once sitting in Slough at my office and going down for lunch. I happened to eat lunch on my own that day, and I overheard a guy who thought he was somebody big in a table with a few friends next door. Look at that guy, he follows God, he's eating all alone, making fun of me. And I thought, you know, well, actually I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on. I know something. You'd be blessed if you knew what I knew. Anyway, I had someone better sitting with me. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Come on. We are the light of the world. Jesus said it. It's the reason we were made. When God made the world, he looked ahead and thought about people like you and me. A world full of people that loved him and loved one another. The light of the world. People that were committed to loving one another regardless. People who love their enemies, it says here. Not just those who are like them, who agree with them, but love those who disagree with them. Everyone they meet. So we're the light of the world. What did he mean, and who was he speaking to? I want to ask us, well, yeah, absolutely. I think you've got something on the head there. Everybody, someone I heard shouted. You know, why did he say it? Well, one reason is very clear, isn't it? Because there's too much darkness, isn't there? This world is too dark. And I could list a whole loads of things which would make our eyes well up with tears when we think about them, because there's too much pain and there's too much suffering. And a lot of people think that means that God can't exist, because if God was all-powerful and all-loving, he wouldn't have made the world this way. Let me tell you, he did not make the world this way. We did. We did. And we still do. And there's a picture that proves it. And we're seeing pictures on our screens that prove it day in, day out at the moment. Because there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. There are 2 million refugees. You know, who are fleeing their homes. They're running away from the places where they have lived and where they've grown up. They're taking their children and going on boats which are not fit to travel on. They're putting their precious kids into boats which are not fit to travel on because they're petrified, because they see no hope where they live, because there's a rebellion going on in this world, because men are insistent on having power. There are men that are greedy. There are men that want their own way and are ruining the lives of those they live in and among. And our God says, you are the light of the world. You know, we live in a beautiful land. We live in a land which is very peaceful by and large. But when you look at the world, people love to come and live here. We are very, very blessed. And one day the whole world will be covered just like England. Beautiful. The Bible says that, and I believe it to be true. One day there will be peace all over the earth. One day there will be joy all over the earth. One day. And up until that day, we work for it. We work for it because we're the light of the world. We can, you know, we can pray. We can pray for the refugees. I want us to pray for the refugees because they need a refuge. This is a refuge. I'm glad that David Cameron has opened up the borders a little bit and said he wants to take in 20,000 extra refugees in the next 5 years. But really, that's a drop in the ocean. When you figure that out, 20,000 amongst 64 million of us. When we share those out equally, do you know what that means? How many do you think that means Marlow gets? The town of Marlow. 5 over 5 years. Do you think Marlow can cope with 5 over 5 years? Yes. What it means for Maidenhead is 20 over 5 years. That's 4 a year for 5 years. Do you think Maidenhead could cope with 4 a year for 5 years? Yes. Yes. But what we need is people that are willing to open up their homes. Because when these people come, they're going to need somewhere to live. And there's already a shortage of homes. So one of the things we can do is actually sign up on a website like homeforgood.org.uk. Chris Candia's website is set up an organisation. Primarily, it was about fostering because there's a need for fostering. And I love, so my wife and I foster teenagers. My wife's calling since she was a teenager. It's brilliant. We love it. I rejoice in the fact that Dave and Chloe have opened up their home. They now foster a teenage girl. Fantastic. But the question is, guys, are there any of us who have spare space in our homes who are willing to go onto that website and say, yes, I've taken a refugee? They won't give you one straight away. They would train you, actually, and they would actually even pay you a little bit to look after someone. But it's a practical way we can be light of the world. Not everybody can be, I know that, but I'm just saying, I want to throw out a challenge to us. Let's lead our society. We are the head, not the tail. We are the light of the world. We lead the way. We don't wait for the David Camerons because they're not going to lead us into the right way. We are the light of the world. The church is the light of the world, not the government. So who was he speaking to? You know, he could have been speaking to everybody because in a sense, mankind was created as the pinnacle of creation. When God created man on the sixth day, he said it was very good. And I'm not talking about literal days. You know, most of you know I don't actually believe it's literal. But, you know, we are created in the image of God to populate the earth, to fill the earth, to subdue the earth, to rule over the earth, to make it and to bring it into all of its fullness. We're the light of the world. God never made the world perfect in all of its fullness. He gave it to us as a rough diamond for us to polish up. So in that sense, we are the light of the world. Everyone created in the image of God is the light of the world. But in this instance, he was being very specific. He went up on a mountain, just as Moses did. Moses went up on a mountain and received the Ten Commandments and came down. And he gave the people the law to live by, which was a beautiful law in its day. A fantastic law, caring for the fatherless, for the widows and for the aliens. Things were written in that law which had never been written in the laws. But when Jesus comes, he goes up on a mountain and he brings an even more beautiful, more glorious law, if you like, the law of the kingdom. And he says, you are the light of the world. Live out this way and we'll see my kingdom come. Because Israel was supposed to be the light of the world. And they, for a time, they were. Nations did look to them and wonder at them and think, wow, this is a good society. And people did join them. People actually moved from other nations to come and be part of them because they were such a beautiful culture. But they ran away with themselves. They got proud. They abandoned the project. But God never abandoned his project. The project that may have failed with Adam and Eve, may have failed with the children of Israel. But he began again. He never gives up, our God. He always perseveres. So he sent Jesus, his own son. So the church is going to succeed as being the light of the world. We're called, the church, to be the light of the world. Oh, hello. We've got the light of the room back. I've just been through that. So then, for those of you who know this bit of scripture, you might think, Colin, I'll admit, I'm a bit confused. Jesus says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But next chapter, you say to me, because you've read your Bible, you know them very well. Next chapter, Colin, it says, don't do your deeds in public. Chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful, it says, not to do your deeds, your righteous deeds, to be seen. What is it? So is it in public or is it in private? Which is it? Because chapter 6 tells us to do it all in private. Chapter 5 begins by telling us to do it all in the light, in the open. Well, for those of us who know a bit about heart life, and know what's going on inside of our hearts is very important. Really, it's, both are true. Some things we should do in the open and some things we should do in secret. And it's the motive that matters. Why are we doing what we do? Why are we doing what we do? Are we doing what we do actually just to love God and to love people? Or are we doing what we do to be seen by men? Do I turn up to the prayer meeting because if I don't go, people are going to start talking that I wasn't there? That's difficult for us leaders. Do I go and pray for that person so I can tell my friends at church I prayed for a sick person? Or actually, am I moved by compassion for their pain, for their suffering? And it's obviously, it's about being moved by love. It's not about how does this look. It's about how can I love? That's the question. That's our motive. How can I love these people? How can I love the person that's standing before me? How can I love the person who's just told me that story? How can I love the person that's in that pain? Back to the why. Why are we so interested in spreading this good news? Why are we so interested in being a light? Why do we want the world to change? Well, yes, the world, because the world is so dark. We've been through that, and we want it to be a brighter place. Yes, it's God's desire, it's God's plan, it was God's purpose for the world to be a bright light. One day there's going to be no more darkness. And primarily, it's actually an expression of love. Because we are blessed, aren't we? If you're sitting here and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are blessed. You want to dance. You just dance through life. You just sing through life. You hug through life. You whistle through life. You laugh at things. Even the pain and the sadness sometimes you can laugh through because actually you know you're living with a God who is so joy-filled, who is so committed, who is going to be with us to the end and is going to make all things new. Our lives are so blessed because we know these things. And it's not an airy-fairy pie in the sky. Actually, peace and joy entered my heart that day I prayed in my university bedroom. Really did, and have not left. This gospel works. We have a purpose, we have a joy, we have a peace which is just fantastic. And only selfish people want to keep that to themselves. We know that everybody in the whole planet would be blessed by knowing Jesus. Because we've been so blessed. And we want to pass that on, don't we? We want others to be blessed. Amen. I'm glad there's a few yeses coming around the room because, that's a good sign. But when I took on the church leadership 5 years ago, I said, I want to lead us to a place where we're going to see people coming to know Jesus because it's the best thing. That's why the church is here, to be the light of the world. And we're doing some good stuff, guys. I love the fact that we're growing in our community service, some of the projects we set up and began to serve our community. Because 5 years ago, I was afraid that if River Church stopped meeting, no one would miss us. No one would miss us. And I was desperate for the towns to know, actually, that there's a God who loves them, and actually to miss us if we stopped meeting, stopped being who we were being. And so we set up projects. We set up the Marlow Youth Club, and we run youth clubs out of that, the NYCC there. We run healing rooms in Marlow. We run the Hub at The Journey, and impacting the community, serving young people through there as well. And I know the most about Maidenhead, so I spend a little bit of time talking about Maidenhead. And the journey in the last 5 years has been incredible. Started off with a festival, which is a crazy way to start, really, but it was great fun. We started with a festival, and on the back of that festival, yearly festival, we then added things like ladybirds, and we have a mother and toddlers group that runs weekly there on a Wednesday morning. We have messy church runs. John's doing a fantastic job there leading that, I think, under James's leadership, you know, and so Messy Church happens once a month then. The Larchwood Open Table, Linda has done a fantastic job. Linda Crew, are you here, Linda? Give us a wave. She's not here today. But she does a fantastic job at the Larchwood Open Table once a month. It's a meal, again, with a Christian, short Christian message. And families come and they get prayed for. And over the period of the last 5 or 6 years, we've just seen people grow. And we had a festival last week, and some of the people that have been coming along to Messy Church and the Open Table are serving now as part of the team. They're part of the family. That's fantastic. I was overjoyed because at one of the Open Tables, I prayed for a guy who damaged his hand. He got a measure of healing. It wasn't completely healed, but it felt immediately better. He was able to stretch it, whereas before he wasn't. His wife called me in the morning and said, "Colin, you here this afternoon?" I said, "Yeah, I'm not going anywhere today. This is the best place to be in Maidenhead today." She said, "Good, because I've asked a friend to come down. I need you to pray for her." I told her, you know, she's got to come down and get prayed for, and she may get healed. So, come on, guys. This is good. This is fantastic news. Fantastic news. And then Kerry, at the end, towards the end, there was a reporter who was taking lots of pictures and doing lots of interviews. And he interviewed her and asked her all questions about why we were doing the Larchfield Festival and things like that. And then at the end, he puts his microphone, his little dictaphone thing down and his notepad away and says, "So then, enough of all that nonsense about, you know, about what's going on here today. Tell me about God and about Jesus." Come on. Guys, this, honestly, I know that we're still not... Okay, you can say we haven't seen lots of people join the church through those things. I know that God is honoured now in many more families in Maidenhead than he was 5 years ago because we do what we do. Come on! Come on! The name of Jesus is respected in many more homes now than it was 5 years ago. Come on! That is something to get excited about, and if we continue, we will see a breakthrough. If we persist and don't give up. I have a good friend, Lawrence Singlehurst, who says, do you know what? He's an older man now. And he says, in all my years, he said, I keep seeing the church try something. And then when that doesn't work, after a few years, they try something else. And when that doesn't work, they try something else. He said that what we need to do is persevere. So let's persevere in it, guys, because it's going to bear fruit. We have some great stuff going into our communities. I rejoice in that. We have a great course, Alpha, to help people who are interested in the gospel come to faith. I rejoice in that. It's fantastic. It's a great course. If you want to know about the meaning of life, if you want to know who Jesus is, if you want to ask questions about the Bible, you know, what's it all about? If you just want to ask the tough questions, if you want to know what if there are any aliens or, you know, whatever your questions are about life, you go to Alpha. You can discuss them, have a meal, great meal, and discuss them in a friendly, warm environment. And then you discover what you really think as others tell you what they think. And it's surprising the number of people that come to faith when they really take a hard look at Jesus. They fall in love. So I love that. But you know what, guys? If we're really to see a breakthrough in our towns, to see people regularly come to know Jesus, it needs you and you and you and you and you and you and me. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. It needs all of us to be living revivals. To be walking, breathing, talking revivals. It's our time to shine. It's our right. It's our birthright. Jesus says it. We are the light. We are the light. We are the light. It's the time for us to really stand up and make a difference. You know, Ignite helps. People get on fire going to Ignite. It's a fantastic way of discipling, but it's not going to reach everybody. The church reaches everybody because we live amongst people. We work amongst people. We go to the school gates with people. That's the way we're going to reach everybody. And all of us play a part in seeing the kingdom come. All of us. And it's at this time, you know, God keeps speaking to me about this. He says to me, it's the season, Colin. It's the harvest time. You've got to get the workers out in the harvest. Encourage the people to get out. Now is the day. This is the season. Don't rest in this day. Work hard. And I had a rest on holiday. I came back and immediately God shows me Christianity and Steve Clifford's article at the end of the Idea magazine, the guy who leads 1 million or 2 million Christians in this country. And he said, you know what? I'm frustrated. He said, the greatest challenge facing the church today, and I find myself being a victim of it. He says, I got saved because I met Jesus. My life was radically changed because someone dared to tell me about this guy, Jesus, and explain to you who he was and what he did. And my life was turned upside down. And now I lead an organization which leads thousands of churches. My life is full of meetings and planning and all that. But actually, I feel the God calling me and calling the church to help people encounter Jesus. It's what it's all about, to be living encounters for people. So when people meet us, the body of Christ, they meet the head. When they meet a Christian, they get introduced to Christ. Through a little Christ, they get to know the big Christ. Through a little anointed one, they get to know the anointed one. And then I'm watching some Bill Hybels teaching on leadership. And I'm, the next one I look after that is saying, do you know, it talks from the parable of the sower. And he says, we've got to sow more. We've got to sow more. Look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, and Jesus teaches some seed fell on the path, some on the rocky ground, some on the weedy soil, and some fell in good soil and bore a fruit. He said, look, three quarters of the seed fell in soil that wasn't any good. He said, the truth of the matter is, the harvest is in proportion to the amount we sow. We've got to sow. We've got to give our lives to sowing in the season, guys. I want us all to be pests. Oh, no, I don't. Not really. That's just a little acronym. Back to the how. You know, if we're going to let our lives shine, there's four things I want to leave us with quickly. Just four things. If we do these four things on top of the other three things, you know, I'm confusing you now. But, you know, then these things will help us to let our light shine. Pray. I had that wonderful video. I didn't just speak about prayer. Prayer's a mystery. It's a wonderful privilege for us to talk to our Father in heaven. But there's a mystery around that because God is not a forceful God. He's a gentle God who stands at the door and knocks, the Bible says, and the door of churches even, and knocks and waits to be asked in. Come in, Jesus. You're always welcome. He waits to be invited in because he's humble and gentle. And when we pray, we align our hearts with his. We align our wills with his. There's something mysterious that happens when we commune with our God. We take on more of his thoughts. We take on more of his will. And actually, we enable him to work more through our lives. It's not a legalistic thing, but it's just the truth. Enjoy. It's enjoy life. Let's just enjoy the fullness and the richness of life. Enjoy being alive. Because that's attractive. If we're miserable, that's never gonna work. Whatever we do has to be sustainable. When we eat, just eat with fun. Go to the cinema, invite friends. Just have fun with people. I love at the moment playing football with my son on a Thursday evening. Get together with a whole lot of his mates, and I go down and play football with them, and the other dads come down, and we have a ball, just having fun. And out of that, I got to chat to a few of the guys as well, you know, about life. And some of them were given money from the poor and other things. So, you know, it's fun. It's great. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. We're not looking for the perfect opportunities to sell our stories. We're looking for every opportunity. We're looking to scatter. To scatter. Every time we are good news, we're scattering seed. Every time we love someone, we're scattering seed. Every time we pray for someone, we're scattering seed. Every time we tell someone what Jesus means to us, we're scattering seed. Every time we visit a lonely person, we're scattering seed. Every time we're doing something nice to someone, we're scattering seed. Let's scatter seed at every opportunity in this day. Let's be people who scatter our seed, not plant them like that picture up there, individually looking for the right opportunity. I'm just praying for that right opportunity to share my faith with this person. I know it's going to be amazing when it happens. No, let's be liberal. Let's throw the seed everywhere. Let's get messy. Because actually, that's the roots of it, guys. It's in the messiness that God will work, not looking for the exact opportunity. Yeah? Let's be messy with our seed sowing. Let's get seed everywhere. And a lot of it will be wasted, absolutely. But let's not care about that. Let's just enjoy it. I'm terrible when it comes to kids' parties. You know, I'm always trying to tidy up and not so much mess. The best kids' parties are the messiest. It's just the truth. My wife's brilliant with the kids' party. She just doesn't care about the mess. Go on, have fun, knock yourself out, paint everywhere. You know, I'm thinking, oh, it's just so messy. Got to tidy up. I'm sure God feels the same about our evangelism. Let's not be so neat with it. Let's make a big mess. Let's just be good news everywhere we are. Let's be scattering that seed around, letting the light that's in us flow. Tell your story. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Let's just tell our story, guys. You can't tell anybody else's story. You can only be a witness of what you've seen. So tell it what God means to you. What does Jesus mean to you? What has Jesus done for you? Tell those things. They're powerful. They change lives. I was going to get Dave up to share a story. He met a guy down the gym, and then he saw the guy in the pub, and then the guy asked if he could pray with him. He prayed with him. The next time Dave saw him, he said his whole face had changed. His whole attitude had changed just because Dave was being good news. Thank you for our leaders. They're leading the way to be good news, sharing the gospel. I love it. Come on. Let's be pests. Right. I'm going to finish there because I want us to pray and respond. Because this is the season, guys. Honestly, this is the season. We're seeing breakthrough in Coleraine and Ireland. Thousands of people are receiving Jesus. There's a church in Bedford, the King's Arms, where people are coming to know Jesus every week. Every week. This is not far-flung countries where this is at. This is our country. Margate, we have a friend who's working and seeing people saved regularly. This is a season, guys, to sow your seed liberally. There's an openness to the gospel. It's not always easy to share the gospel. But if we do share the gospel, especially the gospel that we have, which carries so much love and life in it, people are open to it. I want us all as people, I normally give people the opportunity not to respond, but if you're a member of River Church, if you count yourself committed to what I want us all to commit to this. In this season, to sow the seed liberally. Whatever you've done in the past, and the very word evangelism might strike fear to your very being and your very core, but it's only because you misunderstand it. It's having fun with people, it's loving people. What's wrong with that? Come on, everyone, we all like that. And in the midst of all that, we get to tell them and share with them and pray with them and glorify God amongst them and let our light shine before them. So let's stand. If you want to scatter your seed liberally, stand now. Let's commit to doing that. Jesus, you're amazing. You're the light of the world. We want to cry out to you for the refugees, Lord God. Soften our hearts. Help us to be the light of the world in this country. Stir us up, those of us who have space in our homes. Soften our hearts, Lord God. Give us the courage to say yes, to make a difference to that situation. But more than that, Father, locally, day in, day out, when we go shopping, when we go to school, when we go to work, when we live and chat with our neighbours, give us boldness and give us love and abundance that we may live life in all of its fullness here. Scattering seed. Help us, Lord God, in this season. We're scared, Lord, if we're honest. Religion gets a bad name, ridiculed sometimes, but love never gets a bad name. It's never ridiculed. Joy never gets a bad name. It's never ridiculed. Let's love people. Lord God, help us to love people as you do, to be stirred with compassion, to see people as you see them, and give us boldness to know that you're with us in this, and that when we pray, you answer. Us all opportunities in these days and these weeks to share the love you've given us, to share the life you've given us, to talk of the love of our God in Christ. Lord, we're desperate to see your kingdom come here. And all the people said, amen! Amen! Come on, pray it like you mean it. Amen! Send me, Jesus! I want to be a joy-filled, life-filled, good news bringer. Give me courage to pray for the sick. Give me courage to visit the lonely. Give me courage, Lord God, to love those others don't love. Give me courage, Jesus, and fill my heart with your love.